This is In Tune Radio. Shropshire Business, Shropshire Business, Shropshire Business with Beats.
Join the conversation.
Hashtag listen local.
In Tune Radio.
Good morning, everybody. I am joined by Gillian Holden from A Star Home Care, award winning home care in Whitchurch. Hello, Gillian. Jill.
Hi.
Hiya.
Of course.
The sun is out and you're so bright and bubbly. It's always an absolute pleasure to spend some time having a chat. You know, great work with A-Star Home Care. Can you tell us what home care is? What does that actually mean? How does that differ from other care services and providers?
Yeah, well, first of all, hello, Wayne. Always a pleasure to speak to you as well.
Thank you.
So, A-Star Home Care, based in Whitchurch, and we cover Shropshire and some of Cheshire, but mainly Shropshire. And we support people in their own homes. So the way that may differ from residential care, for example, where some people would rather not go into residential full-time care home, as most people will know it, we can send amazing team in of fully qualified and highly trained award-winning team. And they can just support people at home to do as little or as much as someone likes, really. We're very down to earth. So the company's owned by myself and my husband. So we're real people and we have our own families and we base this business on how do we want to be looked after when we're older, or how do we want our mums to be looked after, or a loved one. So, yeah, it's very person-centered and it's very personable because everybody knows me, everybody knows Adam. It's like a family, Wayne.
It is like a family.
Yeah.
And I've known you for a few years because I'm fortunate in the Mr. Flynn guys to, you know, obviously we do design and, you know, and all that sort of stuff. And we look after your website and some of the things that you're doing. And it's just fabulous working with you and seeing, you know, the progress, really. And equally, you've mentioned your service and it is incredibly warm. I know that. I've seen it in action. And you're winning awards based on your own philosophy. You know, you really are streaking ahead year on year. It's not like you've won one award and then, oh, that's enough for us sort of thing. You go after more. You want better for the community, which I just think is fabulous.
Yeah. And I mean, it doesn't just stop at the support at the home either. So, you know, we try and think outside the box like a lot of people do. You know, we're not the only great care agency out there, I'm sure. But certainly for us in Shropshire, what we try and do is certainly after COVID, we all know what that was like. We were all go home and stay at home. And, you know, great that you can spend time with your family for some who didn't have to work. But unfortunately, that meant not seeing my family because my daughter had to go and live with my sister because we were working so many hours. But we saw how much people miss the community. So we decided, right, what can we do as a business to help our community? So at least once a month, we have an events team who put an event on in the community. Everybody's welcome. It's not just the people that we support. And we do various things. Like last week, we had 10-minute tapping with Wendy Wood. So it's where she's been and done some training for falls prevention. And now she's bringing that and sharing it with our whole community. So if people are falling at home, it's just exercises and ways they can prevent that. And we have free tea and coffee. We have raffles. We have bingo. We have dancing. We have... probably one of the biggest ones. It costs the least. It's throw a balloon around and see who can catch it. But we have such a laugh.
Yes.
I don't know. And just seeing people in the community, not only getting together, but really having that connected time with other people. It's just amazing to me. Amazing.
It is invaluable. And I think one of your passions that you mentioned before we hit the record button, you mentioned that you're doing some specific dementia awareness as well. In the community.
Yeah, so I am very passionate about dementia and those living with dementia, and not just those, because it's not just about those living with dementia. It's also about their direct family and people who are really involved with that, and how tough that can be if we're all being honest. I think dementia is definitely becoming more out there, shall we say. A lot more people know about it. A lot more people have been touched by it in some way or another. And it's just trying to raise the profile of the care sector and how important the care sector is. Because again, if people want that support at home or even in care homes, they need good carers. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to raise the profile for that. But what we do in this community, we are teamed up with the Alzheimer's Society. And on the first Monday of every month at a local venue, we all get together. We have tea, we have coffee, we have crafts and things like that. But more importantly, we have people coming in like Admiral Nurses or Shropshire Council. I'm trying to think who else we've had. We've had so many people in. Me going in there as a registered manager, care home registered managers coming in and giving people advice on that transition potentially. Mm-hmm. And we also, and one of the most popular things is A-Star fund a qualified care team to sit with those living with dementia while their carers can go and have a nice hour, 2 hours meeting and not have to worry about their loved ones.
Yes.
So that's been invaluable to them because it means actually now they can come to those meetings and not say, oh, sorry, I can't come because my husband or my wife won't be able to sit for that long and I won't be able to concentrate. They can now come and rest assured that we'll be there to support them and we'll be doing activities in one room while their carers are in another room talking about how we can help them with living with dementia, basically.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds fabulous and invaluable and something that, you know, other areas could benefit in Shropshire as well, I would consider.
Oh, 100%. And I would grow this as far and wide as it needs to go, because I'm definitely very conscious that dementia is everywhere. And it's only getting more and more prevalent because people are learning more about it. One of the reasons I want to start my national campaign, which is to get celebrities on board and try and push it, almost make care trendy, because, you know, the reality, Wayne, unfortunately, is if my daughter needed some support in hospital, it might be that when we get there, there are no beds because Mrs. Margaret Jones, who's living with dementia and not safe to be at home on her own, can't go home. So she's almost bed blocking. She's medically fit to go home, but can't. So if we don't provide carers and put that time, effort, money into social care, then it's naturally going to get worse and worse. My belief is if we look after social care and put the right quality people in there and show people, actually, this is not just a job, inverted commas.
Yeah,
this is a career. I've made a career out of it. I started my own business from being a carer. And 4 years on, I am rated outstanding. I've won over 15 awards, including 3 nationals. So, you know, again, it doesn't have to stop just because we're just a little company potentially in Whitchurch. The world is our oyster. So if I can make a career out of care, I believe anybody can. All you have to do is have passion.
Absolutely. And you're after more passionate people, aren't you, to put through your system. You've got jobs available. And
yeah, so for me, it's people think, oh, why are they always recruiting? It must mean that people are leaving. And in our business, that's definitely not the case. Unfortunately, we do have people leave because we support them onto career progression. So they might go into the NHS or occupational therapy. And I support that. We've had one girl who's gone on to be a paramedic and she's brilliant at it.
Yeah, yeah.
But for me, it's we've got to have the right people. I won't take on customers without the right team. I'm not in it to be greedy, but if I can't find the right team, unfortunately, it means I can't help more people. And that then, you know, it has a backlog effect onto NHS because then we can't get people out of beds. We have people in care homes because they can't get care at home. So they're in places they potentially don't want to be. And that breaks my heart. That could be, your anyone listening, that could be your loved one. And if we can't get more people into this sector and realize actually it's the most wonderful profession ever, it's so rewarding, Wayne.
Yeah.
So rewarding.
It is. I've seen all of the fabulous things. I mean, you say rewarding, but it's also awarding. It's like only a week or so ago, you won the National Award for Dignity in Care at the Great British Care Awards held in Birmingham.
Yeah. There was over 1,300 other professionals. And guess who else was there? Peter Andre.
Okay. Did you ever dance?
I got to sing Mysterious Girl. Yeah, no. Oh, that he told me like to keep my day job.
Bless him. You should attract him into care and actually endorse your dementia movements. I think he would be probably up for that, to be fair. You're looking at attracting some new carers, and pay is going up by $125 an hour. What more can you tell us about what, you know, if I was interested, what could you do for me as a potential new carer for A-Star, and how do I go about it?
Okay, so we'll start with what the role involves, and that involves being out in your own community. So, for example, if you live in Whitchurch, my team in Whitchurch work in Whitchurch. So the shifts can vary. Some are 7 till 2:30, some are 4 till 10. Sometimes it's school hours for those who are struggling with childcare. You know, that's the great thing about care. We can be super flexible.
Wonderful, yeah, yeah.
We would ask in return in reality is for you to be compassionate, kind, caring, and most of all, reliable, because it's not like when you get your boiler fixed or your roof fixed, I can't do it this week because somebody's off poorly, I'll do it next week. You know, we're dealing with human beings. We go no matter what. So I can train. I'm a train the trainer. I can train all of the care certificate, moving and assisting, medication, all those things that are involved in the role we can train. But the one thing I can't train people is how to be kind. So I want kind people. That's the biggest thing for me. I want someone who's kind and compassionate. The role itself, oh gosh, it varies. You may be going in to help someone out of bed, giving them a wash, helping them get dressed. You could be helping them with their breakfast. Sometimes we actually eat breakfast with people because that encourages them to eat more, and it's great.
Yeah.
Sometimes we take people out. We take them to do their weekly shopping or some medical appointments. Of an evening, we can make people their tea, which is really lovely. And we always encourage, you know, more fresh cooking than microwave meals and try and get that balanced diet. And we have an electronic system as well, which is amazing. So we can monitor things closely. So it's live. So we're always reactive. I feel personally, I've done many jobs, but I feel like in this role, it's like going round and visiting different members of your family, and you're just doing little jobs for them while you're there. And you might be the only person they see, Wayne, that day. So obviously you've got to go in, you've got to be happy, and you've got any issues that you've got, leave them at the door. We've got a counselor that can help people that we pay for. Our door is always open. There's so much involved in a role, to compact it down is impossible, but all I can tell people is I've worked in many industries and I've never found something that ticked all my boxes until I started this business. And this ticks all the boxes. I go home every day having accomplished many, many things.
And happy that you've done so. You know,
so happy,
it's so
yeah.
rewarding. Yeah, absolutely. So if someone was interested, how do they get in contact with you, Jill?
Well, they can email me. At Gillian@astarhomecare.co.uk. They can phone our offices because all our team are super friendly. Our number is 01948 302131, or we have a Facebook page, which is A-Star Home Care Services Whitchurch, or they can pop on down to our office. They can go to that amazing website Mr. Flynn Creative did.
Oh my word, yeah, it's good.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Little plug for you there, Wayne.
It's very kind.
Yeah, and that is www.astarhomecare.co.uk, and that honestly actually is really amazing, our website. And yeah, you can find out loads of things, or like I said, just pop and have a coffee with us if people want.
Yeah, yeah. I love the fact that you're so open about how people get in contact with you, because of course, you know, people do prefer different ways of getting in contact, and sometimes it's quite faithless having to go through a website form or something like that. It's still not necessarily, you know, you don't get a feel for who you might be working for and that sort of thing. But there is obviously, there's a form on your website that people can fill in, and then you'll give them a call back and that sort of thing. But you're so open and friendly.
Yeah, well, Facebook have a button where it says WhatsApp, and that comes direct to me. So if ever you WhatsApp through Facebook, it's me that's answering your messages. So I know a lot about this company, I'd like to think, as I started it with my husband.
So,
I don't mind. Obviously, there's some very important things that we need to do to put people out there with vulnerable adults. And we have those processes. But how someone contacts me, it's got to be however someone feels comfortable. And then generally we'll meet for a chat. And it is, I try to keep it as informal as possible. As I say, there is certain information I have to get and I want to get to make sure we keep people safe. But I don't make it, you know, people say, what shall I wear? Well, whatever you feel comfortable in. I'm not going to judge you on your clothes. I'm going to judge you on what I see and hear. Actions speak louder than words, Wayne. So, yeah, I've had people who have never done this career, and actually it's the best thing they ever did. I have a person who's training to be a registered manager. She worked in a factory before this, 4 years down. She's almost a registered manager. So, you know.
Wonderful. That's a great success story and great, you know, acknowledgement to your support network, you know, within the company. So basically someone can apply whether they've got experience or not. I'm getting the idea that there's processes in place for training or to upskill.
Yeah, so we've got a room. I'm actually sat in it right now. It's a training suite, which has got all the equipment you could come across in the care sector. In the community. We also do training on site as well. I will never, and this is quite unique to our business, I will never send somebody out who they haven't met. So we have a shadowing process. So if anybody new comes into our service as a customer, we will do an assessment, and then that person will introduce carers, two or three carers per home. So you'll never meet somebody you don't know, and that's beneficial for both the carers and obviously the customer. So nobody ever feels uncomfortable.
Yeah, peace of mind, and the family are relaxed and feel that everything's moving along. You know, being handholded basically. I think that's really cool. So what does the future hold?
Oh, now there's a question. Obviously, we've never stopped, as you know. We've never rested on our morals. The future holds many things. We've started a franchise. We have one in Tatton Hall. It's not something we're pushing greatly at the moment because we have so much going on within our current business. But it is something we've done and successfully, may I add. They were rated good in their first inspection, which was brilliant. But who knows? I never make concrete plans, just because we all know when you're dealing with human beings, things change. But my biggest thing is to start my national campaign to get more and more celebrities involved in talking about the care sector, not just dementia, because there's lots of other things involved in care. Dementia is included, but that's one little piece of a very big one branch on a big tree, shall we say. So I just want to change the face of care. I want people to come and work in my business with me, and let me show them how it doesn't have to be, negative. It doesn't have to be all doom and gloom. My business is very positive. It's a lovely, positive culture. And I want to spread that far and wide. And I want other people and other agencies to contact me and help me in this campaign. You know, if you put my CV next to, I don't know, a member of parliament, shall we say, they potentially wouldn't differ that much. Take the word care out of it. And actually, I'm doing the same as you. I'm going with targets. I'm meeting results. I'm customer satisfaction. I'm face-to-face meetings. I'm doing radio chats with the lovely Wayne. You know, it's people think just a carer. It's so far from that. It's unreal. Unreal.
Yeah. Wow. Lovely, Gillian. Thank you for joining us, A-Star Home Care. Of course, Gillian's told us a number, but tell us your phone number again, your contact points.
Yeah, please call me, even if you just want to chat. I'm really nice to talk to. So my number is 01948 302131, and we will happily take your calls anytime.
And it's astarhomecare.co.uk. People, if you want a position with a great, an outstanding care company, an award-winning 15 plus awards after only 3 or 4 years. Speak with Gillian, A-Star Home Care. Gillian, thank you for joining us. Amazing work. I look forward to chatting further.
Oh, I can't wait. Thanks, Wayne. And thanks for listening, everybody.
Party in the front. Business also in the front. InTune Radio.
This is InTune Radio. Shropshire Business. Shropshire Business. Shropshire Business with Beats.
Hi, Wayne and Derin from InTune Radio. Hiya, Derin.
Hiya, Wayne.
We are joined by Alistair Thornley from Ludlow Rotary Club. Hiya, Alistair.
Hi there. Good to talk to you.
Oh, hi, welcome. Alistair. So you're here to tell us about some of the amazing work that the Ludlow Rotary Club do, and some of the finance comes from the dog show that you do, but it also, you know, there's a certain amount of care and other things that where the money that's raised as a charity is put through. Can you give us a great overview about what it is that's so special about the Ludlow Rotary Club and the kind of initiatives that you do and how the community can get involved and support you?
Thank you. The main thing we run each year to raise money is Ludlow Dog Day, which is this year on the 23rd of July at Stokesay Court. And it's the most wonderful location. And we hold the day in the grounds of Stokesay Court. And we get about 3,000 people there with their dogs. And it's not a dog show. It's a dog fun dog day where people have the opportunity to see dogs displays, but also to put their own dogs into some of the classes. And they range from the waggiest tail to the brightest eyes to the fastest sausage eater. And it's a fun day out for the family and their dogs. And there's also the usual things like a bar and ice cream and a tea tent and other things like that. And there's also a sort of mall of gazebos selling different sorts of doggy related items. And it's a great day. And we look forward to meeting the public again this year on the 23rd of July. But with the proceeds from that, we then use that to support our chosen charities, Ludlow Rotary Club's chosen charities. And the particular one that is close to us is one called Ludlow Rotary Cares. And the aim of Ludlow Rotary Cares is to provide grants of up to £500 to community groups and organisations. It doesn't have to be a charity, it can be just a community group. And as long as they're within 15 miles of Ludlow, they can apply to us for a grant. And the principle is it really must make a difference in the community that they're in. And it could be a community of interest, like a club, or it could be a community, a geographic community, like a village hall or a school, a PTA group within a school.
That sounds wonderful. And as you said, that amount of money, £500, is not a huge amount, but for a little, you know, as you say, like a community hall or a club, that can make a huge difference to them in you know, so many ways that I think this is a great idea. You know, have you been doing this for many years?
We've been doing it for quite a few years, and we've distributed something like £40,000,
wow,
85 organisations in that time. And the actual usage varies hugely. I can think of one where we contributed towards a mowing machine for a youth football club because they needed to mow the pitch.
Yeah.
We've given tables to village halls. We've helped a boxing club out. We've helped plant an orchard, a community orchard. So the range is very great. And if anybody is interested in just seeing just how much we do, on the website, it is actually details of all the awards for the last few years and actually little case histories of stories that the people have told us how they've actually spent the money. And it's incredible how you can make a small amount of money can make a big difference. I can think of one where it's a dementia group of organised trips out. There's other things with children. There's an engineering project where we've helped support for children to learn a bit more about what engineering is as a career. So it's a very wide range. We're very open-minded, but we really want to see it making a difference. We don't want it lost in a club funds or something like
that. No, yeah. I can quite see that. So, yes, people who are going to apply, they do need to sort of think exactly what it's going to be. Like you say, not just applying to just get money to say, add to the pot, but an actual specific reason to spend the money. But, that sounds fantastic. That's really, really good.
And the application process is a straightforward form. We're then going to shortlist those applications, and we are looking for probably a shortlist of 10. And then we have an evening at Ashton Carbonell Village Hall where we invite all those shortlist organisations to come and do a 5-minute pitch.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
The Dragon's Den.
it's not as daunting as Dragon's Den. We're not there to take people apart. We're here to learn. And we have a panel of people who are one Rotarian and the other three non-Rotarians, but the local people who they then, if they feel that the presentations have hit the spot, they will then confirm the award of the grant at that time. One of the big spin-off benefits of that day or that evening is the organisations meeting each other.
Mm. So, right, yes. Yeah, I can imagine that. Yeah.
You know, we have the presentations and then there is a sort of 20-minute gap where people grab a cup of tea or buy a drink from the bar and have a biscuit and they chat. And they actually, that introduction where they've heard about each other, then they begin to make their link. Mm-hmm. And those links will go beyond that evening. They will keep in touch about other things. And then we, within the next 48 hours, we would then transfer the money to their bank account.
That's fantastic. Gosh, because so many of these sort of things you hear about, it takes a long, long process. But, I mean, is fantastic. It's, well, as you say, obviously very efficient. You've been doing this for a number of years. And then for them to know they're going to get the money quickly is another win.
And then once that's over, that's the end of May, we're back into Dog Day with organising Dog Day with a vengeance. Like 130 volunteers to run on the day.
Yeah.
It's quite an event. And
where do you get your volunteers from, Alistair, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, we're only a small club. We're only 24 members. So, but we do dragoon wives and friends in as well. But we also get great support from other organisations, from some of the youth groups that come along, and they will come and help us with parking. Other Rotary clubs will send people along as well. And so over time, we've got sort of connections and we can actually draw together that sort of number of people. And people are very generous with their time, and we hopefully the volunteers don't have to be always working during the day, that they can get half the day off and have a look round and take part themselves.
Yeah.
But then when we're putting up the roadside signs, which people will recognise, anybody who lives around Ludlow and this area, South Shropshire, will recognise them. We put a lot of roadside signs up. And we also print about 15,000 leaflets, little leaflets, and distribute them at points, vets. Anything to do with dogs and animals, we tend to try and leave the leaflets in piles for people to pick up. And then we use social media and we use organisations like yourselves to try and sort of spread the word.
It is a fantastic day. I mean, as I say, I think about 4 years ago with my little dog, and I really didn't know what to expect because I've taken her to dog shows before. But this was just wonderful. It really, really was. It was so different. And in the grounds of Stokesay Court, absolutely beautiful. It was a gorgeous day as well, which helped. But just so many different things going on. I mean, I put my dog into the there was a sort of cross country how your fastest dog going over hay bales course. And she loved it. I mean, it was just fun. It was like a pound go or something. A very simple idea. You're one end and your dog's the other, and somebody holds your dog and it rushes down and jumps over the hay bales. But, I mean, it was just brilliant. Honestly, I would say anybody listening, if you've got a dog or even just like dogs, it's wonderful. Really, really is great. You're doing a fantastic job of organising that.
the Fun Scurry is run by Team Vet.
That's it. Yes.
And they donate the proceeds to the which is they're a great sponsor of ours, Team Vet. It's a very long relationship, and we're very grateful to them. We've also got a gun dog scurry, which incorporates the lake. So gun dogs are given the opportunity to collect things from the lake. And there's also an agility scurry that we've got, where you can put your dog through it into an agility scurry. And we've also got this year new one, Hoopers, which is about dogs running through hoops and things. So
I'll have to come. I'll bring Tilly. She'd love that. Yeah, she does agility.
I'm surprised you haven't entered Tilly into the sausage eating contest.
I was trying to remember if I did. I think I probably didn't, because she might be a bit. It's just she's a very greedy little dog. I wouldn't want her to be ill afterwards. it was great. It really was great when I went.
We're also very grateful to Caroline Magnus, who owns Stokesy Court, because she hosts us there. And it's only through her generosity we're able to use the beautiful surrounds of Stokesy Court.
So she provides that for free for you, presumably, then?
No, we'd make a donation, and that's because, you know, there's for her, there's quite a lot of preparation. They have to make sure that the fields are right for the parking, all the gardens clean and tidy, and grass is cut, and a lot goes on. And there's a wear and tear on the garden as well. It's not onerous. It's a very generous thing, and it's her private house. And I think we as a club have to remember that. Because we start setting up about the Wednesday before or the Tuesday before, but we're normally finished and clear by the following Tuesday. So we're not there dominating her view out of her house window.
A fantastic thing, you know, a great infrastructure and thought, really. You know, a small club of 24 people have put on an event that attracts thousands and thousands of. Enlisted the help of one of the prettiest environments in the county, and you wrote family and friends in and other contacts that make it all happen. I think it's just such a community endeavour, really.
Well, we have quite a bit of a debate about this within the club, because we don't automatically do it each year. We actually have a discussion and say, shall we do it, and can we, you know, are the people prepared to sort of put in the effort? It's you know, there's a lot of effort in the background and the lead person is a strenuous job. But we also look at it on the basis that if we go and rattle tins in the market square, we will never raise that sort of money. People are very generous, but we never will raise that sort of money. We recently did something for the Turkish earthquake on a one Saturday, and I think it was about £1,300 that we raised at that, which is great.
Well done. Yeah.
But, you know, it's not going to be the sort of thing that will fund Ludlow Rotary Cares. And we do other fundraisers during the year. But this is our big one, because we want to try and raise a substantial sum of money, which we can then distribute. And we think it's best use of our time.
And the fact is, you know, people love dogs. I mean, generally, this country loves dogs. And so I can quite see it's exactly this dog.
Jerry is currently pointing to our DJ Snowser,
which is on the behind me.
Yes.
Well, I use my dog as in part of the social media that we do on Instagram and Facebook, because we're on Facebook and Instagram. So gradually we build up towards that. Then I take my dog off and Moss, for instance, when we've been putting up signs, Moss sitting next to the pile of signs, inspecting them. And there's things like that that I use the dog to sort of communicate, because you need the click factors. So when somebody sees it on Instagram or Facebook, they want to know more.
Absolutely. And as dogs sell, basically, don't they? What sort of dog is he?
Oh, he's a golden lab.
Oh, lovely.
Very nice. Yeah.
it's great to have that opportunity to sort of meet people with their dogs and things.
Absolutely, yeah, it is. It is. So that is on Sunday, the 23rd of July. So that'll be a fantastic day. Hope the weather's going to be nice. And if I'm free that day, I'll be there. I'll go, because so you've reminded me what fun it was. So
you can find all the detail either on Facebook or Instagram. There are links there. But the main website is ludlowdogday.org.uk. It has its own discrete website.
Fantastic.
But if you go end up at the Rotary Club website, you'll find links back to that one. All the information. And as we get more information towards the day, then people will, it'll be added to. And people will be able to do things like download the registration form. They won't be able to register online, but they, you know, pre-fill that out and bring it along.
Alistair, thank you for your time. Amazing endeavours, and I think we're going to look forward to popping along to the Ludlow Dog Show. And
I think we should.
A wondrous time. And we're going to bring DJ Snowser as well with me, I think.
We look forward to people applying for the communities applying for this grant.
Absolutely.
That's really the output of it, is to help communities make a difference within their own area.
So communities that are charitable CICs within a 15-mile radius of Ludlow?
You don't have to be a charity. It's a community organisation. It has to be constituted within 15 miles of Ludlow. So we go out to, Bishop's Castle, down as far as Leinster, and so on. So yeah. And across to Clibbury Mortimer, it's all that sort of area, Craven Arms.
Wonderful.
And all the information is on the website.
Absolutely. Lovely. Thank you so much. Lovely to talk to you.
Catch up with you soon again, Alistair. Thank you so much.
All right. Be in touch.
This is In Tune Radio. Shropshire Business. Shropshire Business. Shropshire Business with Beats.
Join the conversation.
Hashtag listen local.
In Tune Radio.
Hi, Wayne Flynn, In Tune Radio. I'm joined by our local High Street Level Up funding place person in Sally Themans, and she is heading up Love Bridge North and Love Wellington. There's a few other projects in place, and it's all about localism and breathing life back into our high streets for our local towns and communities. Sally, thank you so much for joining me.
Lovely. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you for joining us. It's absolutely wondrous work that you're doing. In Tune Radio is all about community. So anything that we can do to help our towns and our smaller businesses or independent businesses prosper is amazing. Tell us a little bit more about, you know, what you do, who you are, and how you go about, you know, revitalizing the high streets. It sounds incredibly fascinating.
Well, it sort of happened by accident, really.
Yes.
I live in Bridge North. I live right in the centre of Bridge North. And I found that people were, that there was a massive sort of national narrative about death of the high street. And that was being echoed locally on sort of local social media pages. And I kind of thought, do you know what? This will become a self-fulfilling prophecy if we let it. You know, people dissing the place that they live in.
Yeah.
Seemed an extraordinary way to be going about things. So I created Love Bridge North with some trepidation, because I thought, oh, am I just going to get how are people going to respond to this? And I was amazed and surprised. I started this 7 or 8 years ago. And I was amazed and surprised, actually, when you reflect back to people the good things about the place they live in and celebrate those, how happy they are, how keen they are. Of course they are, because they've chosen to live there. They've chosen to make their lives there. So rather than saying it's all rubbish, there are no good shops and blah, 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 and the bins need emptying and the streets need cleaning, let's focus on the positives and let's keep focusing on the positives. And that can become a kind of self-fulfilling prophecy. If you're a potential business owner, or you want to invest, and you know it's always been your dream to open your own florist shop on a high street, and you hear good things consistently about a town, then and you see, you know, quite a wave of support, then you're far more inclined to want to open your business there. And we were quite lucky; we had some early wins. And a lady called Sarah Stevens. We heard about the Great British High Street awards, and we entered Bridgnorth into them. This was in 2016, and Bridgnorth won the largemouth category. So it just goes to show that actually, you know, what's happening within a community, there are loads of good people doing good things. There's the businesses, there's the volunteer organizations, the schools, the residents who, you know, put out their hanging baskets and things like that. And really what Love Bridgnorth and now Love Wellington does is pull that all together, you know, join the dots up and say, do you know what, we've got a really good place here. And so sort of riding on the success of that, and the retailers all loved it because they got a lot of attention and they felt supported. Wellington said, you know, we'd like a bit of that. Wellington was kind of very down at heel. A lot of Wellington residents didn't use Wellington themselves. So I went in really with the sole aim of getting people to start engaging, getting local Wellingtonians to re-engage with their town, with their town centre. So I employed all the same sort of tactics in Wellington that I have in Bridgnorth. You know, it's good news, it's highlighting the positives. And again, that became a self-fulfilling prophecy because, you know, more and more people, it's about pride, started really taking pride in their place. In Wellington, we were greatly assisted, or we are still being greatly assisted by Telford and Meeking Council, actually, who have a programme of investment in place called Pride in Your High Street, and they were offering grants to private individuals to stimulate investment into the high street, you know, where there was a vacant premises, there was a sort of startup grant, if you like. And they also did some important work with fascias and signage, sort of improving the look of things. And that public investment stimulated private investment into the area. And we had more and more sort of good entrepreneurs wanting to set up shop in Wellington. I mean, what had happened in Wellington, most of the chains had closed or were closing, so there was this dearth of retail, lots of vacant premises. We were running at 15% vacancy rates, so the time was right for smaller independents to come in and fill those shops. And loads of them have, and what that's created is a great community of small independent businesses. And that gives Wellington its own individual vibe. High streets were in danger, or had become very, very samey. It was impossible to know whether you were in, you know, Blackburn or Wolverhampton or Wellington. You know, they felt the same. So actually really supporting the independents and then getting the residents to support these new little businesses with shop local campaigns has been very effective.
Yeah. It sounds like really interesting work. You know, I think you mentioned before we started to record, there's definitely a holistic approach. It's about understanding the area and so that there's you know, some localism, you know, relevant vibrancy, that it becomes the personality of the town or area that it's in. So high streets have been in and out the news in terms of the death of the high street, how we rejuvenate them. But it all... You mentioned before we went on air, Mary Portis. I kind of remember seeing some shows that she did. Those were probably 10 years ago now, maybe. Oh, and she was predicting that there was a significant impact on the high street. And, you know, what is your take on the work that she did, and how is that relevant today?
You know, she showed what could be done. I think, you know, she was sort of rejuvenating tired old charity shops and things like that. I seem to remember. And she's a retailing expert. You know, she really helped businesses with merchandising and customer service. And, you know, there are other friction things that retailers do need to learn and move with the times. You know, they've got to make it easy for people to pay and things like that. You know, gone are the days of people carrying cash. So I think she was very instrumental in dragging some sleeping retailers who weren't sort of moving with the time. So Mary Portis was a real retail expert, and she was helping individual shops move with the times. But actually, I still think we really need a much more holistic approach. And it's thinking about the place as a whole. And whenever I start marketing a place or trying to invoke that sense of pride back into a place, I use something called the spirit. It's called the genius loci, the spirit of the place. And it's about looking at the history behind a place, because people love that historical context of their place. Mm-hmm. Then you look at the sort of physical side. What are the physical aspects of that place? You know, in Wellington, it's the Rican, it's the Georgian buildings, it's the lovely market square. It's the fact that it's got a railway station, the fact that it's got a lovely park in the heart of it. And then the final sort of, it's like a Venn diagram, final part is how people feel about it. And it's really trying to tap into that emotion, that emotional connection that people have with their place. And then it's using social media and PR to keep pulling at that, those strings that attach people to their place. Mm. I know that sounds quite sort of abstract, but that's what differentiates one place from another. Yeah. And that's what gives that community spirit, that spirit of a place. So it's not just enough, I believe, to just think about it in terms of the high street and investing in the high street. So, you know, we've got councils who are beginning to wake up to this sort of, you know, we've got to help the high street, which is great, but it's the work I do is much more than that. It's actually getting the community to come along with us support what's going on and get that shop local message and get that love Wellington, love Bridge North message. And you know, people want it. People want to love the place they live in. Why wouldn't you?
It sounds, as you say, it's this kind of overarching helicopter view, holistic view. And it's almost like a rebranding project. You know, I come at it from that aspect in terms of, you know, that those are the kind of projects that I work on in my day-to-day activity. And it's really interesting, the kind of research that you put into the place and the kind of outcomes that you want to see as success markers, as your key performance indicators, you know, if we go in very business, down the business road about it all. So do you feel that like one place or your working approach is transferable, if you like, to other areas?
Yes, very much so. You know, I've worked on a process. I've devised a process that has worked. You know, I also created Love Madeley for Madeley Town Council. And, you know, I use this structured approach. And it's about, you know, not a fanfare of, oh, we're here and we're going to wave a magic wand and change everything in this place. It's just quietly and slowly and surely changing the narrative and highlighting the good stuff. Mm. So although, you know, you'll have a council doing some social media, it's quite difficult for them to highlight certain businesses because they then get it in the neck that they're bring some. But it's much easier for an independent voice to, you know, go around and take photos of the blue sky and the daffodils and the lovely buildings and use adjectives that can be a little bit more over the top than, say, the voice of a council. And it's also, as an independent body, not necessarily linked to a council, you can big up the council. People are much more favourably predisposed when there's an independent saying, well done, Wellington Town Council, for organising this event, rather than Wellington Town Council saying, look at us, we've organised this great event.
Yes.
So I'm almost there as a proxy to make those councils, Telford and Wrekin, Shropshire, Bridgenorth Town Council, Wellington Town Council, look good and communicate with the population about the things that they do behind the scenes.
Well, it's very easy, isn't it? And I think, like you say, you know, unfortunately, in the news and public opinion, generally is feeding negative aspects, you know, throughout our kind of news environments. And to actually push through some positive messages is going to reach, you know, I think some real strong appeal, because it breaks through. I think we're all a bit kind of fed up with the kind of doom and gloom narrative that comes through mainstream media. And actually focusing on our areas in aspects that we know of, or perhaps we didn't know of, that something was there or there for a particular reason, or historically that's there because of X, Y, and Z. I think it was all incredibly fascinating, and it must reach wider into tourism and you know, substantial increases in footfall. I mean, is that what you see now? You know, the positive outcomes that comes from this great work?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, there's a lot of what's the word when people sort of tell you things. You know, I have a lot of evidence that people sort of see the good things on. It's not just on social media. We do use traditional press. Yeah, that gives them a jolt. Oh, this is going on. Oh, that's going on. Oh, I will go on a walk today. Oh, I will go and visit that new business. I mean, measuring footfall is really hard and very expensive. You need specialist equipment, and these towns don't have them. The larger towns in the county, like Shrewsbury and Oswestry, do. We don't.
Mm-hmm.
But you can do a simple vacancy rate check. That's the biggest key indicator, if you like, is how many empty shops you've got. But the other indicators are, you know, investment on the high street. You know, our businesses coming in and investing. And, you know, in Bridge North, we've got a shared working space project going on. WH Smiths have just done a big refurb. Shop called Urban Angel has just refurbed and opened up. And those are all good positive indicators. But it is hard sometimes to measure, because this is what I'm essentially doing, is changing sentiment.
Yes.
And how do you measure sentiment?
Yeah.
and you know, that's really hard. And you can only really do it by, you know, what are the comments that people are making? You know, we live in a highly interactive world using social media. And are we getting good, positive comments? And yes, we are.
It's wonderful to hear. And what's the future then? I mean, if we almost had like, you know, a looking glass, and we kind of thought, well, what's the next 5 to 10 years? And we're in such a fast paced digital world now that, you know, that time fleets by from a digital perspective so quickly with the advent of AI and all of these kind of wondrous things that are happening. But of course, as people, we need to step out of that kind of digital arena and think to ourselves, well, what are we doing? You know, we got to still be human and interact and socialize.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And I think that what you're saying is people need that, the sort of antithesis to that fast digital world, you know, when they're sitting in front of computers all the time. And, you know, you could not leave your laptop for days on end.
Yeah.
But actually, yes, we are humans. We do want to connect with our place, and we do want to connect with other people. And what high streets, you know, and this is a trend up and down the country, what high streets are moving towards is it's less about transaction and more about interaction. People want that experiential experience. Mm-hmm. And going back to what I was saying about that connecting with the history, the beauty, or the physical aspects of a place, you know, there's a lot of talk about mindfulness, isn't there, and getting into nature. So it is with, you know, actually popping down to your local high street, getting to know the greengrocer, getting to know the people in those shops. We as humans crave that, and it would be a very, very sad place if we lost that completely. And I think people are waking up to that. I think they realize that if towns are going to survive, we all have our role to play in using the local facilities and the local shops.
Fantastic. Sally, thank you for joining us. I really hope that we can kind of catch up again in, 4 or 6 weeks, whatever. And to maybe we could just kind of like see your journey through some of the towns, some of the comments that you have, and kind of understand some of the great work that you're doing, particularly with mindfulness. Mental health, you know, is a huge thing, and we have to get out there and connect and socialize. Obviously, the reverse of that has been COVID, and we've all been locked down, and I think a lot of us have woken up to the fact that we want to be more heavily involved with our local communities and the strategies and everything else.
Yeah, I mean, exciting news. I mean, you know, there are two really exciting pieces of news to just share with you just before we finish. you know, the first, our government has recognised this, and this whole levelling up agenda is very much about localism, and they have created this fund called the UK Shared Prosperity Fund or Levelling Up Fund, and place is one of the three key areas. You know, there are three key areas of that funding: and business and skills and place. So they've got the message that, you know, actually this localism and this agenda of getting people loving where they live and supporting where they live, it is high on that. So Wellington has just received news that it's going to get £10 million.
Whoa!
Funding, yes. And Telford and Meakin, they applied for that funding. They're going to use it to sort of develop and take ownership of the market, because that's a real jewel in Wellington's crown. And they're going to also redevelop. There's a community cinema there called The Orbit, which is fantastic. I don't know whether you've ever been there, but it's just a brilliant facility. And it's in a former bank. And that is going to be further developed for more communal use.
Yeah.
And the news for Shropshire is that they've got this place fund. And actually, there was a meeting yesterday, and I'm part of the Shropshire Economic Plan Group for Place. And it's all about making sure that money is well spent, properly spent, developing some of this sort of work and this sort of way of thinking. So watch this space.
That is just amazing. Well done. Well done to everybody.
It really is the place to be at the moment, you know, this localism. Bill Grimsey, who's the sort of guru of place marketing, he predicted as we came out of COVID that it would be some localism on steroids, and I think he's right.
It really is about those connections, because we've all been devoid of that for so long, and it's very unhealthy. And I think the only way to prevent illness, physical and mental, really is to get the wheels in motion and what we can do locally, and have some real cool stuff within reach, you know, and be excited and proud of where we live is obviously very important. Ellie, thank you for joining me. It's been absolutely amazing, and we'll catch up again soon.
Join the conversation.
# listen local.
InTune Radio.
This is InTune Radio. Shropshire Business. Shropshire Business. Shropshire Business. With Beats.